So I'm excited. This Sunday marks the third week that we have been in a series called You Are Made For. Sometimes we forget that we are made for so much more. We are made for more than just getting through Monday. Right? We are made for so much more than just getting through this dark time in our life. We are made for so much more than just getting past this week, this month. If we could just make it through the day, we are made. There is nobody on the face of the earth that is made specifically like you. You were not cut from any other mold. God did not process you through a line of molds and just pop you out, okay? God has strategically made you, uniquely designed you to be who you are because you are made for this time, this moment in history, all right? And some of us need to be awakened to that. And I hope that throughout the last 2 weeks that God has begun to stir in you exactly who you are and what you are made for. The first week we talked about you are made for victory. And we talked about how God called Moses to bring the children of Israel out of captivity, over 400 years of captivity. Moses had been 40 years on the backside of the desert, not doing anything except for tending sheep. And all of a sudden, God shows up to him and says, "Hey, you're going to lead my people out of bondage." How weird is that? Me? I'm tending sheep, okay? What am I supposed to just show up and tell Pharaoh to let my people go and he's just going to miraculously do it? Or am I going to show up to my own people that I abandoned 40 years ago and go, "You are to follow me because God said so. That's what you want me to do? You just want me to show up and do that?" And the Lord's like, "Yeah, I do." And he said, I can't do that. I can't speak well. There's all kinds of lists, this laundry list of things that he couldn't do well. And the Lord said, "What's that in your hand?" And he said, "It's a staff, Lord." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." And all of a sudden, it turned into a snake, and he was terrified. And then the Lord said, "Grab it by its tail." And he grabbed it by its tail, and it became a staff again. And the Lord said, "This I have given you as a sign to my people to follow you." And so victory comes not from trying to figure out where we should get it, but God has already given us the victory by the way he has made us, by his spirit that he has imparted to us. And then we talked about you were made for endurance. We talked about the Apostle Paul and how many times he had been shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, and all imprisoned and all of these different things. And yet, Paul was still excited about following God. He still had endurance. He still persevered. He somehow figured out at midnight while he was in jail how to worship God and how to give him praise and watch and see what God does miraculously through his life while he endures. Sometimes in our lives, we have to endure. We have got to persevere. So many times, believers are quitters. We are quitters when it gets hard, when it gets tough, right? So many other areas we can endure in our lives. But when it comes to our faith, it seems like the harder it gets, the easier it is for us to quit. But God has created us to endure. And today, we're talking about breakthrough. This is exciting because God has created you for breakthrough. God did not create you to be a doormat. He did not create you to just to have be in second place. God has created you for breakthrough. And we're going to talk about that through the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a prophet. And so we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to sit. So, Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you so much for the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, and that you have called all of us, not some of us, not the elite, not the called, not those that went to Bible college, but you have called all of us to breakthrough. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would begin to stir us up to receive that breakthrough, to stand and watch the salvation of the Lord, to stand and see our breakthrough as you come through for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So we know and we have been taught for so long, right? God is good, right? Let's all say it together. Ready? One, two, three. God is good. Let's do it one more time. Ready? One, two, three. God is good, right? So we hear sermons that God is good. We read books that God is good. We sing songs that sing God is good, right? God is good all the time. And all the time, what? God is good. We hear that over and over and over again. We sing about it. We read about it. We study about it. We have been taught that in Sunday school, that God is good and that His plans for our life is always good. But when you need a breakthrough in your life, you're going to be confronted with questions like this. What do you do when you want to believe God is good, but life is not? What do you do? That question is really raw. That question is real, and that question is relevant for us here today. If you have not served God long enough to question everything, just hold on. It's coming. You haven't really been through, you haven't really persevered if you haven't questioned everything about your faith. If you haven't questioned, God, how in the world, I know that you say that you are good, but my life and everything about this season is painful. I'm tired of defending you. I want to know, are you good? What do you do when you want to believe God is good, but life is not? Which leads me to the book of the Bible we're going to be focusing in on today, in the book of Habakkuk. If you would turn with me, and that's a short book. But Habakkuk is a minor prophet. That doesn't mean he's lesser than. It just simply means that all the recorded writings of the prophet Habakkuk is small compared to the writings of Isaiah and all the other major prophets, okay? Habakkuk lived about 600 years before the birth of Christ. Most prophets in the Old Testament did this. They spoke to God on behalf of the people, all right? They spoke to the people on behalf of God, right? The prophet hears from God, and the prophet delivers the message that he has heard from God, all right? But in this book, particularly, the prophet Habakkuk did this. He spoke to God on behalf of the people. He was getting it backwards. In other words, this book is a conversation between a frustrated prophet and his God. Because this is what's going on in Israel. In the kingdom of Judah, God's hand was, and His blessing upon Judah was heavy. It went through many, many generations of complete blessing. But there was a king that was on the throne that got away from God, and there was wickedness that abounded. The kingdom was corrupt on every level. And the prophet is anxious. He's frustrated. How many of you guys have ever been anxious and frustrated before? Not with your spouse, not with kids, not with relatives, not with your job, but with God. You've been anxious. You've been frustrated. This is going to be real this morning, all right? You're frustrated. You're anxious. You've been praying and believing. You've been standing. You've been trusting. You feel like you've been obedient. You're worshiping through the pain, yet still more pain comes. Still another season comes of pain. Still another season of waiting. Still another season of sorrow. Still another season yet again. And this is where Habakkuk is. And so look with me at chapter 1. And this is how it starts out. This is Habakkuk. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? Man, right off the bat, I can identify with that. I have pleaded with God so many times. God, how much longer must I cry out for help? You see the situation. You're standing above my life. You can see the end from the beginning. You know what's around the corner. And yet, constantly I cry out for help. And yet, I don't hear you. It seems like you're silent. Where are you? I am frustrated. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Distraction or destruction and violence are before me. There is strife. There's conflict that abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Now, the prophet here, Habakkuk, is over-exaggerating things because he's frustrated. How many of you guys ever do that before? You don't have to raise your hand. Right? You're frustrated, you're mad, you're afraid, right? Listen to Habakkuk. He said, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate the wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict. It abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. It never prevails. The wicked just seem to abound all the time. The righteous are hemmed up. They're pushed into a corner. They are made fun of. They are made to be outcast. They are made to look as if they are fringe people and extremists. Where are you? How long must I call for help? But you don't listen. Can you hear the frustration in Habakkuk's voice? In his writings, can you sense that, the frustration? And what is happening here is he is polarizing what is going on. Of course, there is some justice, right? But Habakkuk has seen on every level of government destruction, corruption, and all of these different things, and he is frustrated. Habakkuk is crying out to God because he loves Judah, but Judah is being corrupted on every level of society. Corruption, injustice was on every corner, and the prophet was crying out desperately to God for an answer. We've all been in that place, haven't we? We are frustrated, and because we are frustrated, because we are afraid, it is magnified, and we're exaggerating the truth. And this is where the prophet is. And we're asking God, where is your answer? Okay? We're believing for God for breakthrough, only to see things get worse, see people that we're praying for get sicker. We pray for a promotion, yet we lose our job. We pray for a new car, yet financing doesn't go through. We pray that somehow we will pray for this bill to get paid or for this to go through or for advancement, yet we are overlooked. But here's the thing, and I said this last week. Church, we're not going to win every battle. We're not going to win every contest. We're not always going to be on the mountaintop every single time. Sometimes we're going to be questioning everything. Sometimes we're going to be crying out, God, how much longer must I cry out for help? You hear me. How much longer? And then finally, in verse 5, let's look at that. God speaks, and this is what he says. Look at the nations. Watch and be utterly amazed. Now this sounds promising, right? So far, so good, right? This has got Habakkuk's attention. He has been crying out for so long, and all of a sudden God speaks, and this is what he says. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if I were to tell you. Now let's stop right there. Don't look. You already read it. You guys are cheaters. But this is what God is saying. Finally, Habakkuk is praying and he's fasting and he's frustrated and he's a little scared as well, because his nation, the kingdom of Judah, the blessed tribe, is corrupt in every level of society. And he's frustrated. He's went from delivering words to the people from God, and he has now turned to God, and they're having conversations back at, well, it's a one-way conversation at this point. And all of a sudden, God breaks his silence, and he says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. Now, my eyes would be big as saucers at this point. All right, God, I'm going to look. I'm watching. I hear your voice. I'm ready. I'm excited. He said, for I'm going to do something in your day that you would not believe even if you were told. And then verse 6 happens. All right, it says this. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous. Everybody say impetuous. Impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. Thanks a lot, God. Habakkuk went from frustration to elation to absolute disappointment and disillusionment. Habakkuk is stunned by God's response, especially, so essentially Habakkuk is saying, why aren't you doing what I've asked you to do? Why are you making me question my whole belief system? Why are you making me question your goodness? This isn't the God that I want to believe in. So Habakkuk seeks God's face for answers. God delivers the answer and he says, you're not going to believe it if I tell you. Look at the nations. I'm raising up the Babylonians, this impetuous people, this pestilent people that comes across your borders all the time and you get into skirmishes with. I am now raising them up to take you over. This is not what Habakkuk signed up for. All of his fasting, all of his praying, all of his asking is coming down to this. And all of a sudden, God says, I'm about to raise up your enemies and they're going to take you over. When you're praying for breakthrough, be prepared for God to answer you in a way that you may not want to hear. Is God's plans good at that moment? Is God's plans truly to bless you and not to harm you? In that moment, can you say that it's to give you a hope and a future? God, you're raising up a kingdom against me, against the nation that I love. How can I trust you? How can I defend you? How can I hold you up in esteem and honor when you say that you're raising up this impetuous people over here to take us over? God, you're making me question everything. Why aren't you doing what I ask you to do? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you ever asked that question, because we have all done it. We don't question him when he blesses us. We praise him when he blesses us. We praise him in the times of blessing. We praise him. I was coaching a church planter. He's going to be planting a church in Milwaukee to the Native Americans. And he was talking about how everything is lining up. And he said, to be honest with you, he said, it's been such a blessing that I'm uneasy about it. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I'm not in these times of blessing often. And he said, but it just seems easy right now, Pastor Jimmy. What do you make of that? And I said, brother, swim in it. Jump deep in it. Go underwater, come up, and spit out a fountain of God's blessing. Enjoy that time. Because God is lining up a time in your life of blessing. And there's going to be a time of harvest, but there's also going to be a time of plowing. And that's a time when you got to roll up your sleeves and you just got to put those blinders on and get to work. And there's going to be a time of and a season of of drudgery, and it's going to be hard, but enjoy that time of blessing. Praise God in that time of blessing, because what you do in your time of blessing will determine what you do in your time of digging and plowing and sowing and believing and trusting. When it's painful, when it's hard, when it's bleak, when you're questioning everything. And for some of us, well, all of us as believers, we have got to discern the season and time in which we are in so that we can understand how to react in that moment and in that time. Some of you in your life, you should be harvesting, but instead you're plowing. Some of you should be plowing, but you're harvesting. And in that time of where you should be plowing and you're harvesting, you're looking at empty limbs. And you're saying, God, where is the harvest? Where is the fruit? And God is telling you, you should be plowing. You should be cultivating. You should be pruning. But instead, you don't recognize the hour in which you are in. And because of that, you're frustrated. Because of that, you're doubting everything. Because of that, you're questioning everything in your life. You are doubting my provision. You're doubting my power. You're doubting who I am. And so we must perceive the hour and time that we are in our lives. Because if we know that we're in a time of plowing, then what we do is we put those blinders on and we say, God, I'm in a time of plowing. It's painful. It's hard. I'm sweating like crazy. I'm believing for you. And I know that the end is going to be a harvest. So I trust you. Lord, I know that there's a time of reaping, and right now I'm in a time of reaping, and I know it's not always going to be like this, but I thank you for the hard times. I thank you for where you brought me. I thank you, Father, that your plans are for my good. I see that now, and I didn't give up back then. Even though it was hard and I had questions, I still persevered. And so in those times, in those times of questioning God and our breakthrough, there are three things that Habakkuk does that I want to share with you. When you're hurting and when you don't know what else to do, when your breakthrough is still coming through, what are you going to do? There's three things that I want to point out to you. Number one, if you're taking notes this morning, write this down. The first thing you're going to see Habakkuk do is listen. Oh man, that's tough. That is so hard. We are hurting and wanting a breakthrough. We don't want to listen. We just want answers and we want them right now. We don't want to listen. God, I don't want to hear that. I just want you to come through right now. And sometimes we're like 3-year-olds in Walmart that have a hissy fit in the floor. Right? You can't stop it. You know it's not right, but you do it anyway. And we have these hissy fits, and it's hard to listen. It's hard to stop throwing up complaints when we feel like they're legitimate. It's okay to tell God, I'm having a hard time trusting you right now. I'm having a hard time defending you to my unbeliever friends who see me struggling and ask, where is your God? I'm having a hard time explaining to them that you are good, even in my pain. It's okay to question God. It's okay to say, God, where are you? But at the end of the day, it cannot be questions. We must come to God in faith because faith supersedes our questions. Amen? Faith says no matter how I feel, no matter what season of life I'm in, no matter if the enemy is overtaking me, I still know you're good. I still know that your plans are to bless me and not to harm me. I still know that my healing is on the way. I still know that if I'm waiting on a child, you're going to bring that child into my life because, God, you promised. No matter how I feel, by faith, you are good. When's the last time you told God by faith, He is good? When you're hurting, at the end of your questions, God, by faith, you are sovereign. You are righteous. There is none above you. There is none more powerful than you. And I know that at the sound of your name, heaven and earth trembles because of your mighty hand. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can come through for me. And so I see the season in which I am in, and I know that it's just for a time. And because of that, I give you praise. Amen. I give you praise. But in the midst of all of it, we need to listen. Habakkuk was hit with some devastating news from God Himself. And at that moment, he had some decisions to make. He could curse God and run away, or he could position himself to listen to the voice of God. Look at Habakkuk and what he said in chapter 2, verse 1. This is what Habakkuk said. After God said, hey, I want you to look at the nations. I'm going to do something you won't believe, even if I were to tell you. I'm going to raise up your enemies. They're going to come in and they're going to devour the people. And this is what Habakkuk says. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what God will say to me. The ramparts is the walls of Jerusalem. It's the safety area. It's the place where you can go up. Habakkuk describes himself as a watchman, as a soldier who is looking at on the wall, looking out over, watching and keeping watch. And he said, I'm positioning myself. He said, I will stand at my watch and station myself at the rampart, at the wall where I can see everything and see the enemy coming in. I'm going to stand my ground and I will look to see what God will say to me. Listening is very difficult. It's very difficult to do when you're hurting, when you're wondering, when you're waiting for a breakthrough. When we are hurting, we want to tell God what it is we want Him to do. And if we don't do it, then if He doesn't do it, again, it's hard to defend that God is good. It's hard to quantify that God is good if He doesn't do what we know is good, what we perceive to be good. The thing is, we don't know exactly what is good for us. We don't know the end from the beginning. What we see to be good at the time, God is sheltering us from a whole lot of pain. How many of you guys had made a decision because it looked good on paper? Right? It looked good on paper. You got your calculator out. You divided it, right? You added it up. You times it by two. And it all came out right. You followed through, not a whole lot of prayer, because God, I really don't need you on this one. This is a no-brainer, so I'm not even going to bother with it. And all of a sudden you make that decision and everything falls apart. We don't beseech God. We don't position ourselves at the ramparts so that we can hear what God is trying to say to us. We want to tell God what to do, but it's important to stop telling God what to do and start positioning ourselves to hear God speak. That is hard to do for our culture. Our culture talks over one another, and the loudest voice in the room wins, whether they're right or wrong. If you don't believe me, just watch the news. Watch our current political situation. The loudest voice in the room wins. We want to tell God what to do, but it's important for us to stop asking, stop praying, stop petitioning, and listen. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Moses. God had miraculously delivered the children of Israel to the Red Sea, and all the nation of Israel was right there. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's army was coming, and all night long they heard the hoof prints coming at them hard, right at Israel. And the people were murmuring and complaining, and they said, "Moses, was there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die in the desert?" Again, that's frustration talking. It amplifies things. It amplifies what is not right and true. And yet we say it anywhere way. And then that frustrates Moses. And so Moses is saying, "God, are you listening? God, you didn't tell me about this. God, I didn't understand this." And God said to Moses, "Moses, what's in your hand? Stop praying to me." Isn't that weird, right? We're taught to pray, we're taught to beseech, we're taught to press in, to intercede. But God is telling Moses, "Stop petitioning me. Take what I have given you already, stretch it out to the sea." And Moses, even though he was, I could probably see Moses going, "Fine. I'll do it." We see Moses, this great man of faith, that he never doubted God at all. But in that moment, you could see it. You could sense it as you read it. He could hear Pharaoh coming after him. All the chariots, all the horsemen. And then all the people that he's just getting acquainted to that trusted him to follow them out to the desert. They're complaining and they're cursing his name, and it flusters Moses. And then Moses is flustered and started talking to God, and God said, "Be quiet and listen. Do what I have already told you to do. You have already got everything you need to overcome in your hand. Stretch it out toward the sea." And I can just see Moses going, "Fine, okay, whatever." And all of a sudden, there was a sound, a wind. And the Bible says all night long. It didn't just happen, voila, all of a sudden, and the seas parted. All night long, the Bible says wind came in and began to part the sea. All night long, Israel saw the hand of God. All night long, the enemies of the Israelites heard the sea being pushed back. Wind and coming in and sweeping through, causing the impossible to part. Doors opening that have always been shut for you. Seasons in life that you wish you were in. Now God is beginning to bring you in. God is ready to break through in your life. How many guys are you ready for it this morning? Amen? We need to expect breakthrough in our lives. But here Habakkuk knows that that is not what's going to take place at the moment. And God is preparing him for that time. And so how does he speak? He speaks through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through other people, through circumstances, through sermons, through songs, through all kinds of different avenues, through MP3 downloads that you've got of sermons and all these different things. If we would just be quiet, if we would just listen, God wants to speak through His Holy Spirit to us. Amen? And listen, if you don't hear His voice, don't freak out. Okay? Just because He's silent doesn't mean He's absent. Just because He's silent doesn't mean He's absent. He is always there, and He is always with us. Listen and stop talking. Stop talking. It's hard to be a good listener. When I was being trained as a coach, one of the things that was taught all the way through was you've got to learn how to be a good listener. I am a fixer. That's my default. Okay? Dana will tell you sometimes I am not always a good listener. I've always got an answer for it. May not be good. I'm going to give you something, right? I'm going to come up with some kind of answer. I want to help you in every way I possibly can. I want to fix it. I want to make it feel better. I want to help you to make sense of what's going on. But in coaching, you've got to be a good listener. Because if you tell people the answer all the time throughout the whole coaching phone call or session, it's not going to go well. They're not going to come up with it themselves. And so, as a good coach, you've got to ask right questions and be a good listener. And man, that's hard. And they say, don't give your opinion unless you ask them, can you give an opinion? Or if they specifically ask you to give them your opinion. I had one guy, I was coaching him, and he goes, I thought it was going really well. I was asking good questions, and he was struggling to come up with the answer. And then there was a long pause, and he said, Pastor Jimmy, would you just tell me the answer? I know you know what the answer is. Would you just tell me the answer? And that's sometimes our conversations we have with God. God, I know you have the answer. Just tell me. And God said, listen, if you'll just listen, stop asking questions. I've heard your cries. I've heard your petitions. I've seen that you're faithful. Now I need you to be in a season of quiet. I don't want you to pray out loud. I don't want you to quote scripture. I just want you to be quiet. Let me talk to you. Just be still. I know you're freaking out. I know you're struggling. I know there's all kinds of questions that you have for me. And you're through gritted teeth. You're saying I'm still good. But I'm about to speak to you. And you're not going to listen. You're not going to hear me if you're talking. And so I need you to be into a season of being quiet. And so when God answered Habakkuk, again, it wasn't exactly what he had in mind. If anyone deserved to have their prayers answered the way they wanted it to be answered, it would be the Apostle Paul, right? Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. We talked about that last week. Three times he went through seasons of pleading for God to remove it, but God said no. That's harsh. Paul was in pain, legitimate pain. Three times in anguish, he said, God, would you remove this thorn in the flesh? And God's miraculous, powerful, good answer was no. Instead, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, if I'm Paul, I'm pushing back on that one. Like, thank you, but no thanks. Right? If anybody needs your grace, Thomas needs your grace. Right? Thomas is constantly doubting you. Grace be on Thomas, not on Paul. Power here. Right? Or Peter. Like Peter needs your grace. Right? Remember? Three times he denied you. Right? Three times. To a servant lady. He even cursed on himself. Right? Peter needs your grace. I need your power. I'm pushing back if I'm Paul. Paul, if I was Paul, I'd say, I don't want your grace. I want your power. We've got to learn to listen. Number two, the second thing we need to do while we're waiting for breakthrough is we need to write it down. This is what God said to Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. Why do we do this? Because we have an enemy whose mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I would like to add one more, okay? Not that I'm adding to the Word of God, but just a sidebar in there to make you forget the blessings and the victories of God that he has had in your life. We tend to forget that when we're struggling. He wants to take away everything God has given you. When God comes through for you, write it down. Go back to it. Claim it. Embrace it. Live in it. All right? I want to read something to you I wrote in my journal several years ago. Man, I share too much with you guys. So, but I feel like it's important, so I want to read it to you. This was six years ago. It was the first entry into this new journal. It says, this is my first entry into my new journal. I am hoping this helps me remember where I've been and how I got there. I hope to be completely honest and real, so here goes. I've moved my family from Savannah, Tennessee to Green Bay, Wisconsin to pastor a wonderful church called New Freedom Church. This move was a fulfillment of the call of God on my life. So much has happened and has changed in my life in the past year. My dad died. Dana became a nurse. And I am finally a lead pastor. My boys are doing very well, but insist they are going to move back to Savannah when they're old enough. We'll see about that. Joshua has lost his southern accent already, and I'm very frustrated. Nah, that's not in there, but maybe I need to go back and amend that. Pastoring is everything I thought it would be, and harder than I imagined it would be. I hope Dana and I have a long and fruitful ministry here in Green Bay, even though I hate the winter. It really affects my emotions and attitude. Besides all of that, thank you, Dana. Amen. Besides all of that, I am filled with great expectation, both personally and in ministry, for this upcoming year. And so every once in a while, when I feel like I'm questioning everything, I go back to what I've written down already. I go back because my default is I forget. Sometimes I take absolute sheer delight in complaining. The fact that I get overlooked, the fact that it's hard sometimes. When you're pastoring, you put yourself out there in every way. You pour your heart out on a level that you don't ever do. And sometimes I go home completely exhausted, but I love it because I'm born to it, because I'm made for this. And sometimes when life is hard, not even in ministry, I've got to go back to what I've written down. That's what God said to Habakkuk. He said, this season in your life is going to be hard. And what I have done for you in the past, you need to remember it. And he said, the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. Because the enemy's going to make you forget it. The enemy's going to try to make you curse God and die. But you need to go back and write down everything that I have done so that when it gets too hard and you start to question all of your beliefs, you can go back to what is true, what I have done, that I'm faithful, that I'm just, that I'm righteous, that my plans are for you are good, and to bring you to an expected end. But you're going to forget it. And I need you to write it down. Guys, I can't remember what I preached 2 weeks ago. All right, I summed up what I've been preaching at the beginning of this message, but I did it because I got it written down, right? And we've got to write it down too. Write it down. Number three, the last thing you do while waiting for your breakthrough is you wait. Man, that's tough. Verse 3, look at it. For the revelation waits an appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. In other words, it will be worth it. It's going to bless you. If you trust me, hold on, wait, it will not delay. Write this down. If it's not God's timing, you can't force it. Okay? But when it's God's timing, you can't stop it. Amen? When it's God's timing, you will not be able to stop it. It will not delay. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will be worth it. God's delays are not God's denials. Amen? Just because you feel like He is delaying doesn't mean that He's going to deny it. We've got to hold on. For once, trust. For once, believe. For once, step forward in a leap of faith. Amen? As believers, we do not walk blindly or randomly. All right? Look at chapter 2, verse 4. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. We have got to live by faith. It's not a walk that is blind or random. It is a walk that is done by faith. Even though I don't see you with my eyes, I fight to trust you with my heart. Amen? This is a persevering that some of you have never been into before in your life because you stop short of God's blessing, of God's timing, of God's perfect season in your life because you're tired and you're just done. I don't say that lightly. I've been there and I've done that myself. It's like kind of that old picture that you've seen of persevere. And it's about this guy digging a tunnel, right? And he's cut out a tunnel right here. And just inches away is a treasure trove of diamonds on the other side. But it shows him with his pick on the ground and him walking the other way because he's given up. Some of you are so close to your breakthrough. Keep persevering. Keep swinging the axe because God is going to bring you into a season that is going to bless your socks off. Amen. Verse 20, if you would stand with me this morning, closing it up right here. Then we look at verse 20. Habakkuk says this, but the Lord is in his holy temple. What is Habakkuk saying? He is saying God is in control. And because of that, I will praise Him before my breakthrough comes. Habakkuk says, God is in His holy temple. In other words, God is in control. He's not sleeping. He's not busy with somebody else. He's not occupied with doing some holy thing. God is in His holy temple. He knows His plans for you, and His plans are to prosper you. Trust His hand. Trust His will. Trust His word. And when you do that, breakthrough is on the way. Amen? Breakthrough is on the way. Let's say that together. Breakthrough is on the way. Remember, we talked about that we were made for victory. And how Israel was brought onto the other side. And God collapsed the water all on Pharaoh's army. And there was bodies everywhere. Destruction everywhere. And I can just see Israel being silent like you guys are right now. Just looking. Going, okay, whoa. Wow. What just happened? And then this crazy woman named Miriam grabbed a tambourine, and began to sing a song of God's goodness. And all of a sudden, the nation of Israel began to worship God. While dead bodies are washing up on the shores, Israel is worshiping God. And when you see your breakthrough coming, God said, I'm going to prepare a table in front of your enemies. What's that mean? That means God said, I'm gonna lay out a blessing before you, and your enemies are gonna call you blessed. They're not gonna be able to say one thing bad about you. They're gonna say, that's a blessed man. Don't like him. That dude's blessed. But if we'll hold fast, we'll see our breakthrough. And don't hold back your praise. In the middle of plowing, while your hands are bleeding, sun's beating down on your neck, worship God. Plow. Push forward. With all of His strength, go forward. Your breakthrough is on the way. Amen. How many of you guys believe that this morning? Bow your heads with me. Father, this morning, we come before you and we believe for breakthrough. Breakthrough this morning in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you are holy and righteous. We thank you that even though our lives are not good right now, you are still good. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give you glory. And I'm going to believe my breakthrough is on the way. My breakthrough is on the way. This morning, if you need a breakthrough, I want you to come up right here. I'm just going to pray over you guys right now. But if you need God to come and do something this morning, I want you to come here. We're going to pray over you right now. We're just going to wait a minute. I want Jeremy to share something with you that we feel like will build your faith in this moment. Go ahead.
As you know, this is something I didn't plan to do this morning, but as Pastor Jimmy was preaching this sermon, he was walking through those steps. I'm about to hit my fifth year as a believer, and I had no idea how good God is. About a year ago, my stepson Andy graduated from college. He graduated from Preble High School, 3 years with a 4.0, 42 AP credits, went to Madison, studied computer science, computer engineering, and math, finished his triple major in 3 years. He moved back with us about a year ago, and he couldn't get a job, kind of like Russ and Patty were kind of talking about over there. And we just kept asking God, why, God? This kid should be getting a job. What's going on? Why is no door open? That was about a year ago. And, you know, that doubt starts creeping in. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Lord, you're supposed to bless us. We're praying for him. We're crying out to you. Why aren't you answering our prayers for our son to get a job? He wants to work. He's fighting. He's looking everywhere for a job in a field where they can't find enough people to fill jobs. We don't understand. On August 27th, he had a number of job interviews. No doors were opening. During that time, during this last year, we're saying things to him like, you should have listened to us. You shouldn't have finished so quickly. Why didn't you take your time, get an internship, build some experience, get another job? You did it all wrong. August 27th, he got a job interview down in Madison. And he got the job. Isabel was, she has a prophetic gifting, and she's crying out for her son. It's my stepson. And God told her, you know, he worked hard. 3 years in high school, 3 years in college. I'm giving him a year rest. The seventh year. Right? God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Andy worked for 6 years, and God gave him a year to rest. She wrote it down. She listened to him. She wrote it down. But the enemy stole that memory. He tried to steal God's word. And when she looked back, he got the job. And when she looked back, God told her, look back at your journal. On August 27th was when he graduated college. August 27th is when he got the job interview. Wow. Exactly 1 year later. Wow. And what God said came to pass. God does not, his word does not return void. And he wants to bless us and give us breakthrough. And so that's why I felt it was powerful to share this testimony. So thank you, Pastor Jimmy.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I just feel the anointing on this. If you need breakthrough in your life, take a leap of faith and come up here right now. Some of you are in a time of plowing. Maybe you're in a time of just doubting your whole deal. If that's you, come up right now. We want to pray over you. We believe God's going to do that, going to provide breakthrough in your life. Some of you are about to step into a new area of work. Vicki, you're about to start a whole new career, and you've been working hard and going to school, and you're about to step into a new season in your life, and this is awesome. And so, I just feel like some of you may be holding back. If that's you, come up here right now. Don't miss. Come on up here, ladies. Come on up right here. Honey, if you'll come on up. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to wait. Hey, you're already here, right? Amen. There you go. That's it. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Bridget, would you come up? Thank you, Lord. If you would you stretch your hands this way? It's just a sign that we're in agreement. We're praying. Pastor Johnny, yeah, come on up. We're praying. We're believing that God's going to do an amazing thing. And so those that are down, would you just raise your hands and just in a receiving mode right now. And this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to pray a thing. Not one thing. Just let me speak over you. Hey, do you have something? Come on up.
Lord, impressed on me a scripture from Numbers 23:19. And it says, God is not a man that he shall lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Mm. We'll just leave it at that. If God declares a thing, he's faithful to complete that thing that he has said over you.
Yes.
Remember that. Remember that. Do not let the enemy steal that truth from you. If God says a thing, he is faithful to bring that about. Though the promise tarry, wait for it, for it will not delay, but it will come at its appointed time.
Yes. Amen. Honey, would you just start laying hands on people as I'm praying? As I'm praying, I'm believing for breakthrough right now. So you don't pray. Don't pray at all. Let us just pray over you, okay? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak breakthrough over each and every person that is standing up here believing for you to come through. God, would you come through supernaturally? Would you remind us of your faithfulness? Would you remind them of your goodness? Would you remind them of your plan, your good, righteous, holy, trustworthy plan for their lives? God, may their striving be done. May breakthrough come through in the name of Jesus. Father, may old habits die in Jesus' name. Father, may you raise up faith once again. God, maybe some of them are beat up. They're struggling. God, would you be their strength? Would you give them their grace that you gave Paul when you said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Hold firm. Stand still. I'm about to break through in your life. I'm about to create something out of nothing. I'm about to make your enemies praise you. I'm about to do a miraculous thing in your life, but press in. Be quiet. Wait. Write it down so that you don't forget it. I am about to do an amazing thing. Perceive it. Own it. Walk in it. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I pray over somebody's marriage here right now. That it would be restored and renewed. That trust that has been broken, that intimacy that has been severed, would now begin to be mended in Jesus' name. That hurt, all of those words that your grace would be over it in Jesus' name. That forgiveness would flow again and miraculously their marriage would be made whole again in Jesus' name. I pray over those right now that are asking and seeking and knocking for their future and haven't heard it yet. God, I pray that you would cause them to listen and to be obedient and position themselves as Habakkuk did on the rampart, on the wall, to hear your voice. God, lead and guide in Jesus' name. Thank you for breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what we have been through. Thank you for the painful times. Thank you for all the times that I had to question my entire belief system. Yet you still came through. And because of that, I trust you right now. I trust you fully. I trust you even through gritted teeth. I trust you even with an attitude. As Moses did when you said, stretch forth your staff with an attitude, God. I still trust you. I believe that my breakthrough is on the way. I believe my breakthrough is on the way. You are holy. You are righteous. You are good. Father, forgive me for minimalizing your goodness, your righteousness. Forgive me for putting limits on what you can and cannot do. Forgive me for my unbelief, Lord. And today, I choose to listen. Today, I choose to not forget, and I write it down. Today, I choose the blessing of waiting, not the curse of waiting, but the blessing of waiting, because I know that you're teaching me. I know that you're speaking to me. I know that you're preparing me in this season for my breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I just feel the leading of the Holy Spirit to pray over us as a church and where we are going and a season that we are about to step in. So would you pray with me? Father, we come together and we put our trust collectively as New Freedom Church, as your body, God. We put our faith in you. God, we've been plowing, we've been sowing, we've been in all of those seasons, Father, we've been pruning all for this moment. And I thank you for preparing us. I thank you, Father, for the souls that are going to come into the kingdom of God because of the efforts of New Freedom Church. I thank you, Father, for the blessing that New Freedom Church is going to be to this community because of the people in this church. I thank you, Father, for the revival that's going to break out in this and to this village because of you, Lord. So prepare us. Help us to recognize the season that we are in order that we can maximize where we are right now. and realize that you are still a good God. Father, I was made for breakthrough. Can we say that together? I am made for breakthrough. Let's say that again. I am made for breakthrough. One more time. I am made for breakthrough. So Lord, we declare that right now to be now in Jesus' name. Breakthrough. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do and what you are already doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Come on. Let him hear it this morning. Father, we glorify you. We lift you up on high. Hallelujah. To you be the glory and honor and praise in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, this is what I want to encourage you to do. Go and write this stuff down. Write it down so that you can go back and refer to it when it's difficult. Amen? So that you can appreciate where you are right now because you have documented where you have been. Amen? Amen. Listen, I want to say thank you so very much for being here this morning. Go in the back. The small group leaders are going to be back there to talk with you. Sign up for some of these classes. One question you may have is, do I have to go to that particular one or can I go to another one too? The answer is, do what you want to. Okay? Do what you want to. And so I encourage you to do that. It's okay to go to another one, especially like if you miss, life gets crazy. There's all kinds of small groups going on at all different days. Okay? So go back there, get yourself familiar with them. Sign up. It's going to be awesome. All right? All right, listen, go get some booyah as well. Slap high fives with people as you leave. God bless you guys. You are dismissed this morning.